Weather in the Umpqua Valley, sunny today, high of 65. Going to be clear tonight, 40 the low. On Wednesday, sunny and 73. Thursday, sunny and 74 degrees. It is 55 now. KQEN News Time, 12:35.
This is Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN. It's our daily in-depth look at people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. Now, Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
Afternoon. Thanks for being here. Another Inside Douglas County program. All of our interviews now, of course, on the phone, given all the current restrictions that we've got in place for really all of us. County Commissioner Tim Freeman this afternoon. Joining us from the EOC over at the courthouse. Tim, thanks for being on.
Good afternoon. Thank you for having us. I have with me Casey Bolton, our incident commander, that's helping us with this response.
Hi, Kyle.
Hi. Tim, let's start with you. First of all, this has been evolving. Maybe talk about some of the newer things that have taken place in the last few days as the county has this effort to have all these folks working together.
So, of course, as you know, and I talked about this previously on the radio, it's been fully 2 weeks now since we stood up our incident command response team. And as we have more and more needs that need to be addressed and taken care of, there's more and more people working on this response. But I thought I'd take just a minute and talk a little bit about just physical location. So, as you know, our incident operations center, our emergency operations center, is traditionally located in the Sheriff's Department in a room that has proven to be very adequate for other responses. But in this response, with the extra requirement of social distancing, it proved very quickly not to be large enough. And then also the concern around having outside people coming in to help us and then possibly bringing the COVID-19 into the Sheriff's Department was a huge concern, since the work that they do is vital to the community. So we moved upstairs in the courthouse portion of the building into rooms 310 and 311. So those are the two public spaces that we normally have for the public to use for meetings. 310 is the larger area. 311 is a little smaller room. 311 is the room I'm in right now. It's set up with a fairly large conference table, telephones, and different electronic stuff to be able to do smaller group meetings and work in while practicing social distancing. And then the big room is set up really as a traditional emergency operations center, where around a very large set of tables backed all the way up to the wall to create as much social distancing as possible is where the bulk of the work's going on. And we now have people as part of that incident command group. Of course, Casey Bolton is the CEO of Aviva, but he's our incident commander. We've got organizations from throughout the county participating in that, and I'm not going to rattle all of them off, but organizations like Umpqua Health, Mercy, different organizations are represented, and in some ways, like we have a retired DHS director as part of the organization, and really the top level management folks here at the county are all part of that, and Sheriff's Office, Emergency Management. The team that we have doing communications is an integrated team, so it's a joint information center made up of public information officers from a variety of the organizations. So really a great team of people working together.
So, Casey, I'm going to talk to you but for a moment about your role in all of this. But before we kind of talk about what you're doing now, talk about your background in the military and how that lends itself to being at the seat of the table that you're at for this situation.
Yeah, so I spent 28 years on active duty, and my specialty, if you will, actually was not hospital administration. It was medical planning, which kind of trains you how to look at like geography and resources and, you know, the logistics sides of healthcare, and make sure that the resources on the healthcare side is sufficient and in the right place to support the combatant commander. So I did that, actually taught that at the schoolhouse for Army Medicine as well. So, you know, I'm leaning back into a lot of that old, you know, the old bag of tricks to leverage, because this is an interesting confluence of, you know, civilian slash private healthcare with some elements of battlefield medicine kind of sprinkled in there.
So talk about during your time in the military. I understand that you were in a lot of different places. Maybe mention some of the places that you served in.
I have two combat tours, one in Desert Shield and Storm way back when, and then most recently I ran a hospital in Iraq for a year back in 2005 through 2006. I've done missions to, I did a training mission with the State Department of Algeria. I commanded a hospital in Alaska. And like I said, I worked at San Antonio quite a bit, which is a hub for medical, military medicine, and was both an instructor and then kind of a dean of a school, if you will, of a college there, focused on leadership development.
So, Tim, for the county, there's so many different people at the table here with this incident, or with this situation. Is this more than you normally have when we've had things like fire, major fires and different things, even the Snowmageddon situation last year?
Well, this is certainly a far more complex, in that there's a whole lot of different organizations that are all responding to the same emergency or the same situation. One of the greatest things that's gone on here in Douglas County is the work that the Douglas Public Health Network has done. So they're really 6 weeks ahead of the rest of us, and that they started, doing all the stuff necessary, including all this great epidemiology work, where they go down and really drill down into finding those positive cases and then doing all the research and research around, who they've contacted. And they've done a fantastic job. And the way I described this early on was that they were already in the fast lane going 70 miles an hour, and now we were trying to merge the rest of this work into what they were doing, and we were still on the on-ramp. But I will tell you, we're not on the on-ramp anymore. We are coming alongside them, and all these organizations have been helpful. We set up our emergency command structure with more medical-focused response, and then we have like the DFPA with their incident command structure around the use for big fires. They've actually embedded one of their employees to help us, follow a strict incident command structure, which is the same thing the state has done. So for a very long time at the state level, the Oregon Health Authority was really the lead on the response. The response grew big enough at the state. Now they have Oregon Emergency Management coming in, and they've gone into a unified command, much like the county has. So far, the amount of cooperation from all the different organizations that are have an involvement in this response has been incredible. And really, one of the roles of the county is to set a structure where everybody's organization can coordinate with and feel valued in the response, and we don't duplicate services and efforts, but we're also capturing the great skill sets that all these organizations have in our community.
Now, you mentioned Douglas Public Health Network. I was talking to Dr. Bob Dannenhofer, the county public health officer, on a different program yesterday, and he was talking about the quality of the staff that are working on this for DPHN, and said that folks like this are not often found in rural areas like Douglas County.
Yeah, so one of the great things that's going on is our particular kind of public health here in Douglas County, which is pretty unique, certainly unique to Oregon and probably unique around the country. The fact that this private nonprofit does public health under contract from the county, and they have some contracts directly with the state, but they're really under the Douglas County Board of Commissioners Public Health Authority. But because they're a nonprofit, their efficiency and how nimble they are in their decision-making has been just excellent. Dr. Dan Hopper and Teresa over there both are making really great decisions in real time to get people on board. So they were able to go out and recruit a whole group of people to do this epidemiology work very quickly, and likely before other counties started thinking about doing that. So we were able to capture some of the very best at doing this work because of the efficiencies of the structure. And again, I think a lot of the role the county has is making sure these governance structures and these organizational structures are in place to allow the talent that's out there through organizations that exist to be successful. So we're doing a lot of organizational work, a lot of setting up communications and allowing people to be really good at what they're really good at.
You talk about all these different things, and I was thinking about sort of event management, if you will. A lot of people are used to maybe organizing certain types of things. This one, though, is so unique. It seems important that, as you've done, to pull from so many different areas in the community, which would be very unusual versus other situations that you might be managing, even if they were not good situations as well.
Well, certainly the complexity of this and really how quickly it changes. Just a month ago, the recommendation was that this was going to be more like a cold, wash your hands, stay home if you're sick. I mean, that was really what we were telling people. And think about how far in a month that has come. And, I gave a couple updates from our public health. At our regular Wednesday meetings, I would, get the latest update from our public health officer and convey that message. And, you as the media and the public has seen this at really all levels, how quickly things are changing and how quickly needs are changing. So even 2 weeks ago, we were very concerned that the spike or the most likely time that the county would see as most cases would be really around this weekend coming up. Now we're seeing that timeline has been pushed out a little bit. So, as this evolves and as new testing comes online and as, possibly, antibody tests and those things are evolving happen, the need for the county to adjust and make sure we have a structure in place that all that sort of evolution of information can come to bear is really important. And again, I think one of the roles the county has is setting that structure up, getting good people in places to make those decisions and adapt. And again, part of all that is communicating back out to the public what we're doing in real time. And, being quick on our information and being accurate on our information has really been our goal all along. So thank you to the radio station and other media outlets for helping us get that information out. I'll remind people that we have a daily update that we push out here that is coordinated amongst all the organizations. You can simply go to the county's website and click on to get your email address on our newsletter that goes out every day with the latest best information as one way to get good, accurate information.
Going to take a break on Inside Douglas County. More when we come back. County Commissioner Tim Freeman and Incident Commander Casey Bolton from the Emergency Operations Center in the Douglas County Courthouse, a county COVID-19 update. We're back in 1 minute with more of Inside Douglas County and News Radio 1240 KQEN. Inside Douglas County, 1249. Lars Larson coming at 1 on News Radio 1240 KQEN. On tomorrow's program, we're going to look at the proposal on the May primary ballot for a bond measure from the Roseburg School District. Superintendent Jared Corden will join us, Chairman of the Board of Directors, Joe Garcia, and also from the group backing the political side of things, advocating for the levy, Alex Palm, all on tomorrow's Inside Douglas County. County Commissioner Tim Freeman and Casey Bolton from the Emergency Operations Center at the Douglas County Courthouse. Casey, I'm curious for your perspective, having worked in the military, but in the medical side, how unique is this event for you versus some of the things you've been involved in the past?
Yeah, that's a fantastic question. I think there's no one that really has any experience other than maybe a computer exercise or tabletop exercise to think this through, just how encompassing it is in terms of, and in terms of just what you would normally expect. And when you think about just one simple variable where the initial outbreak was China, and then who provides all the PPE for, really healthcare, how that changed a lot of how we approach this, just that one variable is, I think, very telling.
So, Tim, talk more about some of the things that go on a daily basis there.
Well, we have tried to contain our operations between 7 a.m. in the morning and 10 p.m. in the evening. I've worked very hard with the staff here to try to do that for themselves so they can get some sleep at night. I'll tell you, Casey's not real good at following directions. He works outside of that parameter. But we start our day off with a kind of a leaders meeting at 7 a.m. every morning. Then we go to an 8 o'clock briefing where it's a kind of a short daily task brief that we do in the EOC. And then each of the staff folks go out and do their work. We come together at noon and do a more of an in-depth brief as to what's gone on with each of the different sections of the work that's going on. That generally takes about a half an hour, maybe just a little bit longer. In between that, there is a multitude of calls going on and communications going on at the federal level. So as an example, the White House does briefing calls that I try to attend and be a part of. The National Association of Counties is doing calls. The Association of Oregon Counties is doing calls. I'm doing calls out to the cities once a week to keep them informed. So a whole lot of time on the phone doing briefings and calls and communicating, hearing concerns. Today we had a chance to be on the phone with Representative DeFazio, where he took some input on concerns. You know, one of our biggest concerns that we're dealing with is you hear all this talk of billions, hundreds of billions, and trillions of dollars going out to deal with this. To date, Douglas County and really two public health, Douglas Public Health Network, we received just over $100,000 to deal with this. And we've been spending far more than that to try to deal with it. So, you know, history shows that the dollars really don't make their way to Douglas County, especially the Douglas County government, to deal with these major responses that we've had to deal with, whether that was the UCC event, Snowmageddon, or now this event. So we were able to have that conversation directly with the congressman who was good about hearing that concern and committed to finding out why that happens. Federal government is sending the money to the state. We've got to figure out how that those dollars flow, you know, for the services the county provides and for those businesses and other nonprofits that are out there that also need the help to continue doing the work that they do.
So, Tim, what about for the business community, whether it's people with stores or smaller employers or whatever? Obviously, this has really affected everybody and not in a good way with all the things that are shuttered right now and things that people can't do. What's the role in dealing with the business side of things of the local economy?
So that is a huge component of what we're doing here at the county. And, of course, the state and federal government are focusing on that. Commissioner Boyce historically has been the liaison for economic development. He's really taken lead on that here at the county. Our EOC really is more focused around the health care portion of the response, although we do recognize, and on the call with Representative DeFazio today, I made mention of the fact that, you know, the intention from Congress is to help those that need help. Some of the programs and solutions that they've put in place are not working for all the different types of businesses out there. So whether you're a sole proprietor or you're a very small business that doesn't have the wherewithal to fill out the forms and figure all that out, they need to step up their game and making sure that the business community is helped through this process. Those are our employers. That's where people have jobs. And we got to make sure that, you know, at the root of all this, that the individual is taken care of. The government, you know, will work out our stuff in the end. But ultimately, employers and individuals have to be the recipient of the resources and the recovery. My prediction is the recovery efforts will go on for months and months and months after the healthcare portion of this is over.
And even I saw before we came on today, I didn't get a chance to read the full article, but a posting about just, for instance, the Small Business Administration website crashing repeatedly because so many people are trying to get online to apply for the federal assistance that's available.
Yeah, so it's those type of situations that come up. Again, a lot of emergency management and emergency response relies on one part of an area helping another part, you know. So, you know, during Snowmageddon, we had help from other counties and other areas of the state. They weren't having that situation. Or when we have fires, the big fires, we get national help from areas that don't have fires during that time. And then when they have their fires, we send help there. But this situation, since it's impacting everybody across the nation and across the world, the ability to share resources for a response just doesn't exist. So, you know, you saw the governor earlier in the week sent some respirators or ventilators, I'm sorry, to another state to help them with the anticipation, you know, if we need them back or more, that we may get those. That is a example of sharing resources that has so far been relatively unique in this response, and that everybody's trying to get the resources they need to take care of, you know, their scope of responsibility. So the capacity that the Small Business Administration has on their website certainly was never designed to have this sort of a response all at once. And we're running into that in all different areas, whether we're dealing with just the county resources and our ability to respond state or federal level. This is really, we've said this a couple times in the last several years, kind of a once-in-a-lifetime event that, you know, we're seeing where there's great planning and great ability has been placed, and we're also seeing where there's shortfalls. I will again say the talent we have here in Douglas County with all these different organizations and their willingness to come together to respond to this is why we're beating the national trend and the state trend here in Douglas County. And then the public is a big piece of that by staying home, by practicing social distancing, by keeping the spread from occurring. That's how we'll get ahead of this.
County Commissioner Tim Freeman and Casey Bolton at the Emergency Operations Center at the Douglas County Courthouse. Gentlemen, thanks for being on this afternoon.
Thank you for having us.
1258 News Radio 1240 KQEN.
You've been listening to Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN, a daily look at the people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. The show will be available as a podcast in just a few minutes at 541radio.com. So share it and let others who weren't listening live know about today's show. Inside Douglas County is a public affairs presentation of Brook Communications, your home for Douglas County's news team, News Radio 1240 KQEN.